Being the Lord's will, we'll study a little bit today about maybe get into the Passover a little bit and where that came from, and that's where our thoughts went a few weeks back, and then wanted to get a little back history and probably drug that out too much, but we finished off with Joseph and how the 70 that had came into Egypt and how they were given that land of Goshen there in what would have been south side of where Joseph was at, and they were given that area to dwell. And after 430 years or so, the prophecy of the Hebrew children being many as the stars in heaven, we may just go back and hit that Genesis 15 and 5. Just want to touch some of these. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." And then the prophecy of the Hebrew children being in a strange land in Genesis 15, 13 through 15. And it said, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." So in those two verses, we recognize that that was the Lord's plan, that they would be there for 400 years, and I believe in the New Testament says that 430. But then it talks about that nation being judged, and that's what we wanted to review that here in just a little bit. We'll look over those judgments, which would be the 10 plagues, if you will. If we'll look over that, and then the 10th one being the death of the firstborn, which we refer to as the Lord passing over there, over the ones that would be there in Goshen. Want to just go ahead and look at Deuteronomy 10 and 22, if you want to turn over there and look at this verse. "Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." So that was the 70 that came in that we were told about. And then Brother Barry taught on this a while back and talked about the ones, the 600,000 of men that came out. And you'll go back to Exodus 12 and 37 to find that. And we'll get into our lesson there some more about Exodus 12 at the beginning. But just go to 12 and 37. "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children." So we started with 70 down there, and 600,000 had came out, and that being the men, we believe that not to be including of the women or the children. And so you might say somewhere around 1.5 to 2 million or so may have came out of that. And Genesis 50, sorry about that, I want to go ahead and read that one. Genesis 50 and 24 through 26, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and was put in a coffin in Egypt." So I meant to read that before we got into Exodus 12 and 37, but that was to say that they would be leaving out. And the Lord had told them they'd be there for 400 years, and New Testament says 430 is what it ended up being. So we'll get into these, maybe these 10 plagues, and I don't want to dwell on them a lot, but if you go to Exodus 7, 7, 17 through 19, we'll read of the first one. "Thus saith the Lord, I'm this Thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And it goes on to say that not only the waters of the river, but in all other water-held vessels, even of wood and of stone, it says. So all the water was tainted. So if you go to the second one, it's going to be the frogs of 8, 5 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. So that was the second. The third is going to be of lice. So in the same chapter 8, 16 through 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now into the fourth, it's going to be swarms of flies in chapter 8, 21 through 22. Else if thou will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Now I really appreciated how he showed he was not able to send the flies, but he was able to send the flies to a certain region that they wouldn't get into the Hebrew children down south in Goshen. Now in the fifth plague, a grievous murrain, it's referred to as, and that would be animals. Where was that at? 9, 1 through 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, there shall be a grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of that is the children of Israel. There again, being protected, that protective hand of God over. But that murrain is an infectious and fatal disease among animals, is what that means. And the sixth one, being boils, in 9 through 11, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. So it's upon the man and the beast as well. And then in the seventh one, thunderstorm of hail and fire in chapter 9, 18 through 24. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hail not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. So basically, even they were saying there, the ones that would believe on the Lord would know that this was about to happen. And they even brought their cattle into the houses, it said. And the ones that didn't believe in the Lord, they left them out in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And then the eighth plague, the locust, in chapter 10, 4 through 5. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locust into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And then in the ninth one is the darkness of 3 days. Chapter 10, 21 through 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So the dark and the night had been separated. The Egyptians were in the darkness. The non-believers were in the darkness. But the Hebrew children somehow were able to keep their light. And they said it was a darkness that could be felt. It's amazing how these little words sometimes just give you so much more meaning when you... It's just revealed unto you. You know, if y'all are like me, you've read that multiple times, but for whatever reason, it meant quite a bit more this past week when that darkness could be felt, it said. And it was separated from dark to light. And then the notion of it being dark for 3 days. And, of course, I think y'all see where we're relating that to. The Lord being in the grave for 3 days. No doubt that was a very dark time for a lot of people, for a lot of the believers that just couldn't fathom him being in the grave for 3 days. And I mean, they were expecting him to come into Jerusalem and be the king. They expected it to be nothing like that. But ain't that how it normally goes with us? We expect it to go a certain way with the Lord, and then it just seems like it's totally inverted. And then you're how is this supposed to work out? Well, you're Moses here, and we're supposed to be getting released, and here's this darkness of 3 days. We can't even see to get them out of here. And but yet the Lord gave them light, and he kept the Egyptians there in darkness. Any thoughts on any of that? And I believe
if I'm in hand the other night, I know that would have been a good first scripture. You're a little late,
Larry. I've been late here lately on a lot of things.
We had a flashlight.
Yep.
We didn't have light. I'm just sitting here trying to figure out which direction is that?
Yeah, northwest maybe, west, yeah, mostly west. As long as it's shining to the east, we know where we was looking towards, don't
we? Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time Brother Reynolds, he come here years ago and talked on some history, and one of the things that he brought out, he was talking about every one of these famines, or every one of these plagues, God's hand was upon his people.
Amen.
You know, with the frogs and with the light and all that, that it didn't affect them.
Yeah.
Brother Reynolds pointed out something in history back in the 1500 or 1600s when the majority of the churches was over in Bohemia, I think they called it, and I don't remember what the disease was, but some kind of a disease was taking over Europe, just and he said it was just astonishing to him that it got right down to Bohemia, and then it started appeasing it, and it finally went away. And I don't remember.
That had been the Black Plague at that point.
I don't remember what the plague was, but he stood in here and he taught on that, and how he was so astonished, you know, by that. And that's just exactly like what happened right here.
Yeah.
But that plague, that disease was killing thousands of people all over Europe, you know, and some of y'all may, that may be the name of the plague.
I can't remember.
They got down about Bohemia, where the churches were at in that time frame.
Wow.
It appeased itself.
Amen. Amen. That's good too. Anything else? Anything to add? That's good. But our thought gets towards this tenth one for sure. The death of the firstborn. In Exodus 11, 4 through 6. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more." So they're saying there that even from Pharaoh all the way down to the least person of that land, that it would affect all of the firstborn.
It says there the beast, so does that mean that all the animals and stuff
too,
the firstborn?
Amen. Sure does. Sure does. So there was not only human life that was death, but there was cattle, horses, camels, asses, whatever else was there in that land. All of the firstborn there would have died. Now, I couldn't help but have this thought. I guess I've always thought it would to be just males. And then the more I've tried to research that, I don't know that I could necessarily support that 100%. It says man, but it also refers to man quite often in the Bible as mankind. So I'm not convinced that it was just the male figures. I believe it because it mostly just says firstborn and really doesn't necessarily pinpoint it. So I don't know that they're, you know, Pharaoh's son, you know, we think about that, and that's definitely... But his firstborn could have been male, but it might have affected women too. You know, meaning man as in mankind. But any of y'all got any thoughts towards that? That was another one of those things that pops in my head. Then I ain't got time to sort through the answers. But but I've always kind of leaned towards, I guess because of Pharaoh's son. You know, it refers to him. But either way, the death of the firstborn there, this was announced by Moses before he departed from Pharaoh. And there towards the end of that, where was that? It's there in 10 and 28, it said, "And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. In that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face no more." So he told him, I won't see your face anymore, but it's almost like right before he left. And I happen to believe that, and again, another thought I couldn't separate, how frequent and how close were these plagues? Was this 3 days of darkness? Was Moses standing there in darkness? Was these 3 days... Right before this was to happen, right before this, throughout midnight, did they get up in the daylight and realize all these people were dead? Was it still in darkness? And then another thought of here in just a little bit, these children are going to be asked to these Hebrew children are going to be asked to get this lamb that has been observed. But the Israelites would be able to find that because they had the light. But these Egyptians wasn't going to be able to necessarily be able to see that if this were to have happened just the days before. So if there were to have been any believers of the Egyptians that again, just muttered up thoughts. But if this were to have happened just days before all of this. But wasn't able to find that time frame. How often was this 3 days, again, just right before all of this? Was there a week or so separation? Was there a few days separation? Don't really know. Just we'll stick to our thoughts, and I guess we'll leave that to the side. But
it don't tell when the plague started, does it? I mean, it don't say like the first month, the so year.
Not that I'm aware of.
We know when Passover.
Amen.
I don't think this tells that, but and it wouldn't be nothing but my guess on it. But what all this was about was to get the people to turn to God.
Amen.
So
amen.
I think this space of repentance between each one of them.
Amen.
You know, I don't think he just sent one, then the next day. I think he gives space for repentance. And some of that stuff, you know, whenever those Egyptians sat there in darkness 3 days, and they look over here at the Hebrew,
who's
telling them this is going to happen, and it's happening, they're in life.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, you know, you get a little space there, you think, amen. Man, you know. So you wonder if God didn't permit space of repentance.
Amen. Well, I agree with you, and I did look back at a couple of those plagues, and it said the next day, but this wasn't one of. You wouldn't see this was the next day. So maybe a couple of those are the lice, and, you know, maybe not necessarily death would come, but just one day after the next, there were some there to really agitate and really should be drawing them to the Lord. But from this one on, for sure, you didn't see the darkness. And you didn't see it go the next day into this one. So I agree with you. I like that thought that there would be time for repentance there, that he wouldn't just not allow them their time to make things right with the Lord. That's good explanation for that. This death of the firstborn. Again, I think Moses announced that right before he departed, and I don't think that he's seen his face anymore, as there would have been death pretty much what Pharaoh said. He was going to kill Moses if he seen him again. He said, well, you don't worry about that. You won't see me anymore. And he took off, and that'd be the last that he'd see of him, huh? Wouldn't it? The Passover beginning in chapter 12. We'll start reading there just a little bit. 12:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. So if you were too poor to own a lamb, then it was up to your neighbor to help you out there, wasn't it? And then they were to figure out how much that each person would eat, and they would try to assess that lamb size based on that. And if the two of you didn't have enough, you'd go to the third house. That's the way I see it. But the Lord provided there throughout. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, there in 12:6, just wanted to see some other places there that would be also in Leviticus 23:5. If you want to go over there, and we'll read some other accounts of this. 23:5, in the 14th day of the first month, that evening is the Lord's Passover. And then in Numbers 9:1-3, you see a lot of this mentioned in the first five books of the Bible, and it's there in 9:3, in the 14th day of this month, that evening you shall keep it his appointed season, according to all the rites of it and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it. And there, we'll go ahead and read the fourth. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. The this month would have been referred to as Abib. Maybe we can pull that out in some other studies here, or maybe we might get around to it. But if you look there in Exodus 13 and 4, you'll see that. If you've still got your Exodus page there, go to 13 and 4. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. Now, if you go to Nehemiah, it refers to in chapter 2 and 1, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. That Nisan is actually also that same month. So the best we can tell there, you read about it being referred to as the month of Nisan in Nehemiah's day, which would have been the Persian terminology, the best I can tell, and maybe Abib is the Hebrew terminology. But those two months seem to be the same, the best I can come up with.
What would that be for our month? What would that be? Can you translate to
what we have? I think they basically, starting at this point, they used two calendars. They had the regular Jewish calendar, and then he said from this day forward, they was going to have a sacred calendar. When you look it up, the seventh month that Abib on the sacred calendar would become the first month, because this is when it began. So when you look at the regular Jewish calendar, it's Abib, but when you look at their Jewish sacred calendar, it's Nisan. That's the calendar that they go by for each one of their feasts and and the Atonement Day and all that. All those are spread out on that sacred calendar.
Gotcha. So
like
it
Jewish calendar, that's what it pretty much says, Nisan or Abib. And then following March and April.
Half of months in March and half in the month of April, I believe is how based on the moon phases.
On the feast,
Amen. 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 Yeah, I wished I had one of them right there. You can't hardly find that. My Bible ain't got that. That's pretty handy.
Well, I made some copies of it.
I know. I didn't get one.
I'll make another copy.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. In 12, and we'll get back to Exodus 12. Where did we get to? 6th? I think somewhere around in there. We'll pick up there on the 7th. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And that pertinence, that means like the animal's intestines and innards. So they take the entire animal and take it up there the best that we can tell. It keeps his head, keeps his legs, keeps all the pertinence thereof. So they've slain it. I can only imagine they would probably just cut the thing's throat, let it bleed out the way that we would hogs today. That way you get as much blood out of the meat as you can, and then they would have taken that meat and it said they striked it on the doorpost. I don't believe they lightly rubbed it. I don't believe they painted it. They said they struck it on the doorpost.
That's like a high priest did, wasn't it?
Amen.
Like,
amen.
That's what maybe
thank you. Yeah. Amen. So that was to be put on the side post and the upper door post there. And then this whole animal there would be cooked over fire, not to be as we would roast something today or broil it in a pan or have any water to soften it up at all. It was to be not to be sodden with water. And in the 10th, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So this Passover, it is this meal, if you will. It is referred to as that, but also we recognize it to show here in just a bit, the Lord will pass over there in the 12th. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Notice that little g. He doesn't recognize them as any god. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Amen. In the 12th there. So it talked about them being ready to go and being girded about. And they had these long tunics that would have been round about. Well, they would have pulled them up around them, folded them up down in their belt, and they would have cinched that up. They would have been ready for fast travel. They'd have been ready to run. They'd been ready to fight in those days. If you read anything about being girded up there, that's what they mean, been ready for battle or whatnot. You see that as Elijah was in 1 Kings 18 and 46 when he was running from Jezebel, I believe it was, that he was girded up and ready to go. Said to have your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. And there in the 12th, said that he'd pass through and pass through Egypt that night, but he said, I am the Lord. And I couldn't help for the thinking of Exodus 3 and 14, when he told Moses, say, you tell Pharaoh, I am. I am. In the 13th, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And that's what we're going to try in our weak way today to show that. And I know I don't want to get on. I'm sure Brother Jeff will probably, Lord's will, he'll teach us a little bit about that today. But the Lord's Supper, it is an ordinance to be observed exclusively by the members of a visible church of Christ.
Amen.
A solemn celebration of his atoning death. And we recognize this to be a memorial of the Lord's death. That's what this is. It's not part of his resurrection. We'll be celebrating that real soon. But this is of his death. This is the blood will and must be applied. And this can't be taken without being a member of the church. And that can't be done without being baptized. And the baptism doesn't happen without giving an account of an experimental knowledge of faith and salvation from Jesus Christ. Amen. So we recognize that would be the priority. As that list of priorities being biblical, baptism was first instituted by John the Baptist as he came and baptized, preparing the materials. Jesus was baptized as well and selected his apostles then after that, as they had already been baptized. And Jesus gave the Great Commission then to teach, make disciples, and then baptize them. So again, that's just supporting this priority list. The Lord's Supper was instituted with his first church, his disciples that were already baptized, then the Lord and then given the Lord's Supper was given to them. There is no example of the Lord's Supper being given before baptism.
Amen.
This table was first set over 2,000 years ago, so it is every one of our duties to guard this table and to do our very best to approach this memorial just as our biblical example was given. And we may just be in a good place to stop there this morning, but we'll try to continue researching this a little bit and studying into it and understanding the Passover and how that relates. But we definitely really, really enjoyed this study. Would there be anything on your heart or anything you'd like to add to this, feel free.
I had a question, brother. Observation too,
Amen.
fact that every other plague, the land of Goshen was protected, right?
Amen.
The congregation of Israel was protected. Not so here, right?
Amen. Amen. The
blood's not applied.
That's right.
On your household.
That's right. Agreed.
Not going to protect the whole congregation of Israel.
Amen.
Blood's going to have to be applied at a personal level.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting.
That's
amen. Unless I'm reading it wrong, if I am, for sure, I'd love for you to correct me, but it don't seem like if a person in Goshen refused to do that.
Amen. Amen. I couldn't agree more, because it specifically said that household. It didn't give that region of Goshen that they would be protected. And most certainly, I believe if there were some Israelites there that didn't believe in that, the Hebrews didn't believe in that, if they didn't strike that doorpost and upper post with blood, I believe that that firstborn would die regardless of what their heritage was, regardless of what their birthright was. Amen. I agree 100%. Anything else? Appreciate this.
It's just about like, you know, even if they found leaven in their house, weren't supposed to be there. If they found leaven, they were cut off. They were not allowed to escape bondage. You know, he was buried beside
Amen.
In particular because of what it all
Amen.
Is. But yeah, those Hebrews, if they had leaven in their house and they found it, they wasn't allowed to escape bondage.
Lord
they
help.
Were cut off from the congregation right there in Egypt, you know.
Amen.
What can you come to these, what you find in the New Testament? Saved
in
the household, you get saved. Yeah. I keep thinking about
it. Amen. Yes.
The first one, and you know, and
you
can't help but think about it.
Yeah.
For me, I can.
Amen.
You've done a good job.
Amen.
Good
job. Looking forward to today. Y'all can consider yourself dismissed this morning. Appreciate you being here.